Hi, I'm Mike Gasowitz, CEO of Tricert Financial Group. Welcome to another episode of In Focus. And this is a special episode, really a special series. We're calling the series Echoes. We're trying to be a little creative here. What are we talking about when we use the term Echoes? We're actually talking about a series on legacy planning. We're coming up with other ideas. We thought maybe smile. We're going to talk about death and taxes, but we thought that wouldn't go over very well. So this is about echoes, leaving one's mark when you think about your future and your legacy. Joining me today, we've got Gord Hardy, our head of financial planning. And also joining us, we've got Oliver Lee, head of our insurance and living benefits division. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Great to have you here. So, legacy. Let's start there. How would you guys define legacy and what's included in that term, legacy? Oliver, why don't you start?
Yeah, sure, Mike. The way I kind of consider it is definitely assets. I think that's an important part of when I think of legacy. What are assets that you've accumulated over time that your family, your beneficiaries are going to inherit? And so I think that's a big part. But the other part I also consider as well is the non-financial part, which are values. As an example, what values do you want to ensure that get passed to your family and next generation? So it's more than just the financial side. And when we work with clients, we want to ensure both are considered.
Gord, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I agree with what Oliver's saying. You know, I think back to being a young kid. I was probably 10 when my great grandfather passed away. And one of the things that was really important to me was a farmhouse clock that he always had on the wall. It has no financial significance at all, but it was hugely important to me. So, you know, certainly the intangibles of how do you want people to remember you, not necessarily attached to any financial standpoint, but really in general, when we're looking at it from a financial planning standpoint, we're talking about providing that lasting memory through financial security, passing on assets and value to the beneficiaries that you want to receive them and benefit from them.
That's a good commentary, guys. And I think, you know, back to this whole notion of your example of the clock and values, where I think that's so important. Obviously, it is about, you know, in its crudest form, it's about money, but in its highest level form, yeah, values is an excellent way of looking at this. What, how is the mostly family going to be dealing with this as they move forward? And so, I love that. So I think related then, I think that underscores, but talk more about, so why does this notion of planning this, why does it matter? Gord, what do you think?
Well, I think really it comes down to efficiency. And there are many ways that you can pass assets on to your family. You can have it well structured. You can have it very unstructured. But really when it comes right down to it, from a professional standpoint, and hopefully from the listener standpoints as well, you want it to be done in the best way possible. And typically that would mean getting the assets that you want to the beneficiaries that you want to receive it without paying or making CRA your ultimate number one beneficiary by paying too much tax in the process of getting the assets transferred.
Oliver, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I obviously agree with Gord is saying. I think the other important part is without proper planning, you might have some unintended consequences or unintended outcomes of that lack of planning. So as an example, we work with many clients that have farming operations, and with land values increasing as much as they have, as quota values have increased as much as they have, typically those farms get passed to the children that are active in the business. So one of the unintended outcomes potentially is that that child who receives the farm, it gets a fairly large value. And then the kids that aren't involved in the farm, they now that gap is quite large. And this is maybe one of those unintended outcomes that clients haven't really considered, because again, land prices have gone up so much recently that this is where we come in and help and really just at least identify it and talk through it and kind of determine, yeah, how do we solve this?
It's a really good point. Sadly, I would say the wealth industry, the wealth management industry as advisors, I think sadly full of anecdotes where you see, yeah, things may not have been fully planned out and you get some ugliness in terms of the next generation and families, you know, they start to fall apart in terms of siblings and the like. And, I think that's a really, you know, back to the reason why this planning really should take place. And it's not just about the assets and it's also the values and making sure that the family still stays cohesive. So really
that's a
good
point. That's a great point, Mike. The fact that we end up dealing with the assets themselves, but the concept of the psychological or familial relationship damage that can be done as a result of not planning properly or not at least thinking things through to make sure that everybody is not necessarily equally taken care of, but well taken care of depending on what the situation is. You can either make the next generation of the family or you can ensure that you're going to break the next generation of the family.
Yeah, really underscores the importance here. So this series, we're going to have those are several episodes. And who do you guys see as who should be listening to this?
Really, I think it's everyone, Mike. Depending on your stage of life, depending on the complexity, it really comes down to the fact that if you have assets or debts, you need to make sure that everyone in your family situation is properly taken care of to continue on living their lives when they're gone. There's going to be a lot more complexity for a business owner or farm situation. But even in the early stages, you know, you need to make sure that you're planning properly so that your remaining beneficiaries can manage on without you leaving a financial mess for them.
Oliver, anything to add?
Yeah, pretty much echo exactly what Gord has talked about. I think for higher net worth individuals or business owners, yeah, that level of complexity, especially around taxation, it becomes a pretty big issue. And the importance of dealing with this or at least examining whether you have this issue, yeah, we highly recommend it.
You made a good point, both of you guys, in terms of you think about in the context of assets, but you highlighted debt as well. So some folks might be thinking, well, I'm sitting on a whack of debt. I don't have assets yet to worry about this, but kind of obvious. Yeah, you got to be careful who's going to be saddled with that debt, depending on the context. So I think that's a good point to underscore. So back to the who, and then maybe the when, kind of related. But you know, when should I be thinking about this?
Yeah, I think anytime. Like to Gord's point, I think all individuals should think about this, because you know, if you're a young family. To what you just mentioned, Mike, you know, not only debt repayments, but making sure that, hey, you know what, if you're gone and you're not on this earth, does your family have enough to continue, you know, their lifestyle and living? So I think it's important then. But, you know, for folks that are maybe on the other end of the spectrum that have accumulated net worth and built up a significant business, I think when legacy planning makes most sense is when you've kind of achieved retirement confidence. I know it's kind of a new term that we haven't used yet, but you know, when we talk to clients, we want to make sure that you are looked after and you're comfortable ensuring that you have enough to fund your retirement. If you're not at that stage and you're unsure, then yeah, you want to deal with that first before you start talking about legacy planning.
Ward, anything to add?
I guess the tongue-in-cheek answer is yesterday, last year would have been the best time to do it. The second best time is now. Whether, as Oliver said, you're a young family and you're protecting your spouse, maybe planning for education costs for young children, whatever it may be, making sure that the continuity there is present for your family so they can continue to live and operate financially in the manner you want them to. But as you progress through life, again, this isn't a bucket list thing where I'm doing legacy planning, I've got it done, check it off, pat myself on the back. Your situation is going to change. So as part of the regular review of your situation, that legacy plan needs to be updated and reviewed to make sure that the wishes you set out 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, still match what you want to happen now and cover off all of the assets you have now that maybe didn't exist when you originally set up the legacy plan.
Really good point. So, and that's why this is, we're going to do a deep dive on a lot of these topics. This episode is really just a high level overview. So folks get a feel for what's coming down the pipe. In that vein, then how, you know, at a high level, how do people go about doing this? Because it's important, it can be complex. How do they go about and do this?
Well, I think in reality, it's starting with the financial plan. Before you have the financial plan done, you may not realize all of the ramifications that need to be considered in the legacy plan. A good financial plan would be covering off estate planning and legacy planning, even if it's only in the simplest terms of, do you have a will? Does the will cover off everything that you want it to do? Are you able to provide what you think you're going to be able to provide for your family? You know, it tends to be one of two groups typically. There are either people that think that their family is more well protected than they really are, or there are people that think that legacy planning doesn't make sense because they don't have the financial wherewithal for it to be a major concern. Everyone has that need, whether you recognize it or not. And really, the financial plan will start to put in focus where the gaps potentially could be and what changes need to be made to rectify them now.
Oliver, anything else to add?
Yeah, I agree. The financial plan is really the starting point. As Gordon mentioned, it gives perspective. Without that, you really don't have a sense of, you know, what is the size of the problem or a potential problem that we've got. So it also helps us too, as the folks that work with clients, developing the legacy plan, developing the estate plan. The financial plan is a bit of an ingredient list for us to also start the analysis and say, hey, oh, wait, okay, now if you've got this, then maybe we also need to focus on this and we have to do these things. So a financial plan is really the starting point.
I think too, you know, there's two aspects to this. There's the peace of mind for you knowing that you have the legacy plan set up. But when the time comes for that plan to be implemented, you're gone. You're not there to be able to explain to your executor and your beneficiaries what needs to happen, why it's happening. So really, you know, you're also providing the game plan for the person that's going to be tackling the windup of the estate and the transfer of the assets, whether that's your spouse, whether that's a trusted contact that is acting as executor. Over my career, what I've seen more often than not, and this extends to one of the benefits of the financial plan too, is that if in most couples you've got one person in the relationship that handles, likes, enjoys, knows the financial side of things, 9 times out of 10, that's the person that dies. And it can leave a spouse at a very difficult emotional time already dealing with another aspect of stress, because now they're jumping in at the deep end and having to deal with the financial part of their situation that they may not even have the starting point awareness of. So the financial plan also can work as education to make sure that everybody is aware of the situation, it's not going to be the magic wand where, you know, your spouse dies and all of a sudden you're going, oh, that's not a big deal that my spouse died because I have a financial plan. But it will take away that financial stress at a time where you're dealing with probably one of the most difficult situations you'll be dealing with, and allows you to focus on getting through that without the worry of how are we going to pay our bills in the short term and what do things look like over the long term.
Really important. And I think, you know, again, it underscores the value of a financial plan, but really underscores the value of a financial advisor, right? It's because a lot of this isn't just numbers. A lot of this is comfort, solace, you know, some of these more, call them touchy-feely issues, but incredibly important emotional issues. And so it's great to bring a professional in who's exposed to that, has an understanding for it, alongside the professional who's truly dealing with the numbers of the CPA. So again, a testament to having all three integrated and in trying to give that comfort to our clients. Guys, I want to thank you for this. It's a good start. This is a good, hopefully, a good overview for the listeners in terms of what we've got, the other episodes that are going to be coming in this Echo series. So again, thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Folks, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out to your financial advisor. Don't hesitate to reach out to myself. And as always, please take care.